Good morning. Our lesson for today is the law of seed plant harvest. And in Mark 4, 26 through 32, it says, "And he said," that's Jesus talking, "the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seeds upon the ground." See, the whole kingdom of God is like a seed sown, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seeds sprout and grow and increase, he knows not how. See, he doesn't know how, the details of why they grow, but all he knows is that when he plants a seed, they grow. And the earth produces and acts by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth reapers and puts in the sickle, in other words, he harvests it because the harvest stands ready. And he says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it?" And he just did. In verse 31 it says, "And it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. Yet after it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all garden herbs and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air are able to make rest and dwell in its shade." Everything that we do is like a seed sown. I don't care what we do. If we put an offering in the offering plate, that is a seed that we are sowing in the work of God so that God's work will go forward. If we say to our wife we love her and really mean it, that's a seed sown in her heart that brings you closer together. It produces the work of God because love comes from God. In the same respect, if we do something mean to someone, that's an evil seed or a demonic seed that's planted in the heart of someone else. And notice that when we're good to someone, that seed reproduces and grows, and that puts them in a happy mood, and then they go on and sow happy seeds in the people that they meet. In the same respect, if we're mean or evil to someone, that puts them in a bad mood, and see, that seed reproduces and grows, and then they're in a bad mood when they run into someone else, and that seed's passed on and on. The only way that you can stop bad seeds from growing is to say in your heart, "I'm not going to receive the bad seed that was sown in my heart. I'm going to change the seed. I'm going to change the crop. And rather than reproducing this crop that of evil that was given to me, I'm going to give someone else a crop of good." Remember, the word says, do not return evil with evil, but return evil with good. That's changing the seed, changing the crop, so that only good crops come from your life, not bad ones. In Matthew 6, 5 through 15, also, when we pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they pray, they love to pray standing in a synagogue in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. See, what is the purpose in your heart for doing or planting the seeds that you're planting? See, if you go into your quiet place and plant seeds in the heart of God, because that's what prayer is. Prayer is planting seeds in the heart of God. But those seeds only find good ground when you're serious with God. Also notice that if you're not saved, God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Why? Because they have an established property. They have an established authority with God. See, it's only because you give yourself to God that God accepts and receives what you have for Him in prayers and in other things. But when you pray, go into your most private room and close the door, praying to the Father who is in secret. And your Father, seeing it in secret, will reward you in the open. See, because you have received Christ and received His love and want His best and want to do what's right in God, see, you take the time to plant seeds in the heart of God because you live in the heart of God. But if you do not forgive others, see, you've put yourself in sin, of their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. See, this is seed sown once again. Once again, if you really want the best of God, you will do what God says to do. Don't continually plant bad crops. In your heart, you need to make a decision that you're going to do what's right, and that when evil is done to you, you don't return evil for evil, but you actually take the time to say, Father, I'm not going to return evil for evil, but when someone does something evil to me, I'm going to do good. Notice that everything, physical and spiritual, is built on the law of seed, plant, and harvest. In Genesis, we see, in Genesis 1, we see what many people call the law of Genesis. All things reproduce after its own kind. This is actually the very same law that we see in the New Testament that we call the law of seed, plant, and harvest in Mark 4, 26 through 32. And the reason why we call it the law of seed, plant, and harvest is because of verse 28, the earth produces and acts by itself, blade, first a blade, then an ear, and then a full grain in the ear. But it's actually the law of seed, plant, harvest, and the law of Genesis is actually the same law. In the Old Testament, we see, for instance, in chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God repeats that same basic theme several times in the following verses. All things reproduce after their own kind. If you plant good seeds, you get a good crop. If you plant evil seeds, you produce an evil crop. You produce and plant crops out of everything that you do. In Luke 6, 37 and 38, we see, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure out or give, it shall be measured to you again. Once again, the law of seed, plant, harvest. If you don't judge, you are not judged. It's a big problem in the world. Being judgmental, condemning people. We need to understand that none of us were perfect before we got saved. And many of us are not perfect even now that we are saved. But through the grace of God, we get to heaven. There needs to be an understanding in the hearts of Christians everywhere. You'll never correct all the details of a person's life until they get saved. Once you bring them to salvation, that opens their heart up that they can receive other ways of improving their lives and getting rid of some of the baggage that people have. But this is an interesting verse because it really says very clearly, what you sow, that's what you get. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. See, a spiritual application of a spiritual thing and physical manifestations of physical things. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you give, it shall be given to you. See, you open up doors for blessings by being a blessing. In 1 Peter 4, 1 through 10, so since Christ suffered in his flesh, in the flesh, for us, for you, arm yourself with the same thoughts and purposes, the patience and to suffer rather than to fail to please God. For whosoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, has done with intentional sin, or has got rid of and has stopped pleasing himself in the world and pleases God. So you've decided to stop planting crops of the flesh, and now you're going to start planting crops of the spirit. Because that's what we are. As Christians, we're not supposed to work in the flesh anymore. We're supposed to plant those spiritual crops so that we can grow closer to Christ, not further away. So that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills. See, if you want to be a bricklayer, you will never learn to be a bricklayer if all you do is garden. See, because gardening, not that gardening is not a wonderful thing, but gardening doesn't teach you bricklaying. Gardening teaches you how to work with flowers and plants and all kinds of things like that. But see, if you want to be a bricklayer, you need to do the things that bricklayers do in order to become good at it. And it's the same way with the things of God. If you don't do the things of God, you will never become good at the things of God. If you don't live a godly life, if you don't work in the things of God and do spend time in God, you will never become good at it. For the time that has passed already suffices for doing what the Gentiles like to do. Live as you have done in shameless, insolent wantonness, in a lustful desire, drunkenness, reveling, drinking, bouts, and abandoned lawless idolatry. They are astonished and think it very queer that you do not run now hand in hand with them in the same excesses and dispensation. But they will have to give account to him, Jesus, who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. For this is why the good news, the gospel, was preached in their lifetimes, even to the dead, that through judgment in fleshly bodies as you as are, they might live in the spirit as God does. You've got to get rid of the flesh if you want to live in the spirit. Verse 7, but the end and culmination of the things has now come near. Of all things has now come near. Keep sound mind and self-restraint and alert, therefore, for the practice of prayer. Verse 8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love one for another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Forgiveness forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Hey, you plant seeds of forgiveness, God will be ready to forgive you. And others will be ready to forgive you. If you can overlook the sins of other people, you'll have less people judging you. Verse 9, practice hospitality one to another, that is, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable, that is, be a lover of strangers, with brotherly affliction for the unknown guest and foreigner, the poor and all others who come your way who are of Christ's body. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously, without complaining, but as representing him, Christ. As each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as benefits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse unmerited favor. See, unless we do the things that God calls us to do, unless we live the life of God, really what we're doing is we're trying to plant weeds, flesh weeds, in with our spiritual seeds. And what we end up with is kind of a garden full of weeds, and we don't get anything good out of it. It's only when we make up our minds and we're going to follow Christ that we really produce something good that we're proud to go before God in heaven with. Romans 1:16-32. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. See, he does it for everybody. There are no exceptions. Everyone has a right to receive the things that God has for them. For in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. Why? Because if you plant faith, what do you get is more faith. See, if you plant watermelons, what you get is watermelons, not tomatoes, not potatoes, but you get what you plant. If you plant faith, it leads to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. See, this is simply not a faith in Christ. This is faith every day. Is God true and faithful to perform his word? You plant his word, you get results. See, if you pray for healing, he's not going to give you a watermelon. See, what Christ says is that everything is done for your benefit and for your good. And it's only because you spend time in Christ that those fields are ready to receive, and the things that you plant in them, your prayers and all, those prayers find good ground to grow in. See, if you don't put any word in, you don't have any fertilizer for the word that's planted in God's heart in your prayers. See, you have, it's just like a farmer. If you don't plant, if you don't take care of the seeds, if you don't keep the weeds out, then what have you got? You got a patch full of weeds. Verse 18, for God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness express and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. See, if I say God's word is not real, see, I hinder the work of God. But we all know God's word is true. When God says it, it's done. That's it. Verse 19, for that which is known about God is evident to them who made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. If God has shown you and you have received a salvation, then you are obligated to live God's word, to do it the best you can. Verse 20, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, so men are without excuse. God is. End of discussion. And Jesus is the full presence of God, the full nature of God. And he has given that nature to us when we receive salvation. We should live it, not live in the flesh. We're not obligated to live in the flesh. Because when they knew and recognized him as the God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. What did they do? Instead of planting the word, that are spending time receiving the word, getting into the word, they planted things of the flesh. They went out and did all kinds of foolish, worldly things. And all that did was put weeds in with their good seeds. But God will sort them out. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. See, they didn't understand that what you do is a seed sown. If you plant the word in your heart, then you have planted something good in your heart that can grow up and produce good crops. But if all you're going to do is fool around, that's why you can't serve two masters. You can't serve the world and God. Because all you're doing is planting the world back into your heart, and it's causing you to fail. You have to be on one side or the other. And by them the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal men and birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in their lust of their own heart to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. See, instead of filling yourself with the word of God, the uncompromised word of God, they filled themselves with half-truths and things like that. Well, it's good this time, but it's not that time. Horse feathers. God's word is true. You either live it or you don't. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And who's the creature? They say they serve themselves. They serve themselves. Who was blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile afflictions and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abandoned, abnormal one. And men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze with lust for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and wrong going astray, which was their fitting retribution. Hey, if all you want to do is do what the flesh tells you to do, you will never have anything meaningful with God. If all you're going to do is plant weeds with the seeds, all you're going to have is weeds. And so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome, until they were filled with every kind of unrighteousness, indignation, grasping and covetousness, greed, malice. They were full of envy, jealous, murder, strife, deceit and treachery, ill will, cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. These are all things that are flesh and will carry you straight back to hell. Even if you're saved now, you can still go to hell. They were without understanding, conscienceless, faithless, heartless, and loveless and merciless. You know, in the Old Testament, when they gave a sacrifice, that put that rolled their sin back a year. But there even came a time in the Old Testament, even while they were still doing sacrifices, they were doing them but not meaning them. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a likeness of the New Testament. You see, we get grace, and grace will cover some sins, but there are limits to grace also. And when you give your heart to Christ, Christ expects you to start planting seeds in your heart. Fill yourself, renew your mind by the infilling of the Word, and do all of those things that allow you to grow and grow closer to Christ. But as long as you're only willing and playing at being a Christian, you can expect to have the same thing they did in the Old Testament. And that was, you reach a point where God says, you know, you've been sitting on the fence, you've been playing around, and, you know, it's a shame. If you're cold, it's easy to say goodbye. If you're hot, it's difficult to say goodbye, and you won't, and God won't give you away. But if you're lukewarm, see, you haven't made that deep commitment. You haven't settled in your heart what you're really going to do. And verse 32, and though they were fully aware of God's righteous decrees, that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. What can I say? 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19. So brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, the divine favor that is coming to you through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Live as children of obedience. Do not conform yourself to the evil desire that govern you in your former arrogance, ignorance, when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. Yeah, I've just told you what the requirements are. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Christ planted holy seeds in us and gave us salvation. Now he expects you to be holy. It means getting your act together. Like they say, either get right or you get left. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, if you call upon him as your Father, who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence here on earth. Hey, we're all only here for a little while, but heaven is forever. And if God lets everybody into heaven, what's the difference between heaven and earth? He hasn't made anything new. He hasn't made anything better if everybody goes to heaven. And you can say to yourself, well, but, you know, I haven't murdered anybody, or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that. You know what? There's the rules. I just read the rules to you. You have no excuse. Verse 18. You must know or recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. See, some people look at the law of seed plant harvest as some kind of get-rich-quick thing, but it's really not. I mean, there is a line of thinking. In the law of seed plant harvest, it says that if you plant seeds, you get a crop. That's true. But there are stipulations on the crops that you get and how you get them. See, if you're doing things just simply to get rich, then you don't have a crop. Remember I said prayers are seeds planted in God's heart. If your seeds aren't planted in God's heart, and the only way you can plant seeds in God's heart is if you're doing God's will. You see, if you're planting seeds in God's will, if you're planting seeds to get rich, then you're not the one that's getting rich. What you're really doing is, for example, if I plant a seed in a ministry, if I give them money, but my purpose is to get rich, then those seeds aren't getting anywhere because you're doing it for the wrong reason. But the ministry that gets those seeds can prosper because they're not doing the sin. See, if they're doing it to truly minister and do the things of God, then that ministry can grow from the seeds that you have planted. But that doesn't mean that you're going to grow. You need to do things with the right purpose, with the right perspective, because God is calling you to do it. Because out of your heart, you desire to do the things that God wants you to do, and God will tell you where to send your money or plant your seeds. Matthew 6, 32 and 33. For all these things, Matthew 6, 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows what you have need of. You're not hiding anything from God. God knows what your situation is. God knows what's going on in your family. God knows what goes on where you work. He knows all of that stuff. He knows what your needs are. Plant seeds in his heart in a right manner, in a right attitude. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, what are you seeking first? If you're just seeking to get rich quick, forget it. That's not happening. Because the seeds that you're planting are not being planted properly in the soil, in in the field of God's heart. John 15:7. Do you want God's best? Give God your best. If you abide, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, if indicates uncertainty. See, if you live for Christ, then these things are available to you. But if you're out sinning and doing the world all day long and then you expect to come home and pray a quick prayer, oh God, help me with this, forget it. Not happening. The word says God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. See, as long as you're in the world, you have no access to God. You have to give yourself over to God, not halfway, as you've seen in all of these verses I've read to you so far. Your commitment needs to be full and complete, a real, no-joke commitment. And don't say that you can't do it. You can't do it because you're not trying to do it. In those situations where people have real situations where it is really extremely difficult to live the word because you're under pressure, threats and all kinds of other stuff like that, you know, pray, go to God honestly. You could never go wrong by going to God honestly. He knows everything that's going on. You're not going to fool him. You're not going to shock him. You're not going to surprise him. You'd be amazed at how much power truth and honesty has with God. And if you'll take the time to sit down and really talk to God in an honest, upfront way and explain your situation, you would be surprised how much help he would be to you. But you have to be honest with God. God has to be honest with you. And God is always honest. Luke 16:13. No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by one and be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in the world. You can't. See, you're either planting good seeds or you're planting bad seeds. If you think you're going to plant a seed full of weeds, a field full of weeds, and have half good crops and half weeds, the weeds are going to choke out in good things. If I make a pile of toy bricks here as good things that I've done, you know, I've helped this person and I've done that and I worked at the church and I did this, and then I went out and I was mean to the neighbors and I took the block off and I did this, that, and the other thing. Next thing you know, what have I got? Nothing. See, one counteracts the other. Jesus gives us access to God. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and a worshiper of him and does his will, John 9:31, we know that God does not listen to sinners. John 14:12. I, Jesus, assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone is steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I, Jesus, go to the Father. You have the power of Jesus in you because the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost all live within you. See, you're the physical presence of what should be God working through you, but you have to give yourself to God. You have to be real with God. 13. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you may ask in my Jesus' name, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in the Son. See, he says, if anyone, in verse 12 that we just read, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, see, are you steadfast in Christ? Are you really living for Christ? Are you doing what you can do for Christ? See? All of these assurances come to people that are real, that are not joking with God. Verse 14, I will grant you and will do for you whatever you ask in my name. Verse 15, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. See, if you're not joking, you're going to do this for real. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Verse 17, and the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, nor know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphanless, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, and helpless. I will come to you. But see, you have to be real. These things that we're talking about here are only for people that are no joke, that are serious about Christ. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. See, the Holy Ghost will come and abide with you. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will agape love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that agape loves me not, keeps not my sayings. Verse 24, he that agape loveth me not, keeps not my sayings, and the anointed word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus teaches and bases the basics of operating in the anointing of the Spirit. To be anointed in the Spirit, you have to live it. John 14, Jesus gives us wisdom. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, and the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and in my place to represent me and to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, remind you of, and bring you to remembrance everything I have told you. And Mark 10:29-30. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, there is no one who has given up and left house and brother and sister or mother or father or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold as much now in this time, houses and brother and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. See, are you going to invest in God or are you not? See, there's 100-fold return is available to you. But it requires that you live in God's heart, that you really do what God wants you to do. See, a farmer today will plant 2 kernels of corn in a hole, and over a period of time, that corn will grow and form one stalk, and that stalk will have 2 ears of corn. Each of those ears of corn will have over 600 kernels. So, when the 2 seeds are planted, you get a 1,200 kernel return. So that's the law of seed plant harvest, is that when you plant, you receive return. But that's true of everything. If you really get serious with God and really do things with God, he will meet every need. He will come to you and lead you. Just like, you know, you look at the apostles Paul and all the others, and you say, oh, well, look at all the problems Paul had. Yeah, but in every time, God gave him what was needed at that time, even to the point of taking him home to be with him. See, but this, to live this life like Paul did and all the others, requires that you spend time with God and to make a serious decision for God. I would like you all, those that are really serious, to pray with me now and allow me to help lead you to the Father, in Jesus' name. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the sacrifice that you've given. And Father, we thank you for forgiving us of our sins. For Father, we ask you to forgive our sins. And Father, we invite you into our hearts, that you would lead us and draw us closer to you, that we can do and really live in a serious way, the way you would have us to live. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we invite your Holy Spirit to live in us, to fill us, to lead us and guide us, to strengthen us, and to give us supernatural wisdom and knowledge and skill at all the things, all the powers of the Holy Ghost, that we can really do and live this life in Christ the way you would have us to do. And we thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you.